Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Ava Orsmond, telling all things life lessons.
People often say to me when they come to my clinics, and now especially when they come to the hotel, they are like, you know, Ava, you are not the persona you the TV have, you know, made you to be. And actually, sometimes I'm thinking, my God, that's terribly sad that there is that negative. There's some people who absolutely don't like me because what they saw in television.
As ever, it's available on all podcast platforms.
Brave, courageous and trailblazing. Some of the words used to describe Kenmare-based Carrie Jade Williams.
I'm just a random girl that lives in Ireland with one story that a couple of people might hear.
Over a year ago now, I got diagnosed with a terminal degenerative neurological illness called Huntington's.
So it was a horrific diagnosis to receive. I'm adopted, so I had no idea that the genetics ran in my family. When I got my diagnosis, I then learned that there's very limited technology available for people like me that are living with disabilities. So I designed my own technology, which is what I'm using to talk to you today.
But Williams was hiding a secret. She was really Samantha Cooks, and she was a convicted fraudster.
We now understand that for at least the last 8 years, she has been going from town to town across Ireland, duping people, deceiving people, and in some cases even defrauding people out of significant amounts of money.
Having gone on the run after being exposed in 2022, Cooks would assume a new identity and life in Kildare.
A professional couple, they were looking for an au pair and they put up an ad on mindme.ie, as many people would. They put a lot of faith in her, and to find that she's a convicted fraudster, you know, this litany of lies. The mother said, did anything happen to my son? Did you do anything to my son?
I'm Tabitha Monaghan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Mark Thai from the Sunday Independent, who has exposed a fresh set of lies from Samantha Cooks as she goes on the run again in Ireland. Mark, can you give us a very brief overview of who Samantha Cooks is and why she's back in the news again?
Yeah, so Samantha Cooks, was her first run-in with the law came in 2011 when she was convicted of basically defrauding a couple who were trying to conceive through a surrogate arrangement in England. And she took £1,200 off them and didn't go through with the deal, basically, and was convicted over that. She told a story about having mental health problems, having an issue with her own childbirth, and then it kind of went off the radar. We next, I suppose, see her as Carrie Jade Williams in County Kerry, where she's actually an up-and-coming writer, an English writer, getting a lot of international acclaim, winning a Financial Times essay prize.
So I decided I'd try and get 100 writing rejections in a year, pitched to the Irish Writers' Centre and got offered the opportunity to be their writer-in-resident down in Kilreelig. And then COVID hit and I kind of fell in love with the area. So we're here to stay.
We would later find out that she also had convictions in Ireland, where she had a 2019 conviction for basically doing a false psychological assessment on a child, taking some €800 off a man in Cork. She was given a suspended sentence in that case, but there was 4 counts of theft taken into consideration, where she'd taken some €750 of a number of parents for a children's trip to Lapland that never happened. So she had quite a colourful past.
And part of that story that she had when she was an up-and-coming writer around 2022, she had Huntington's disease, and then she was an activist. And there was also talk of a Netflix deal there as well.
I was able to pitch to Netflix, and they have been remarkable. They purchased a screenplay, which is life-changing for me in the middle of the pandemic with my assistive tech, and I'm being filmed as part of a documentary.
She became a bit of a kind of a sickfluencer, you know, because of her Huntington's disease, alleged Huntington's disease. She went as far as to get over £10,000 from the Alzheimer's Society in the UK for developing a new piece of software to help people with degenerative brain diseases to write kind of a voice start application she was working on. So multi-talented. She was interviewed regularly on Radio Kerry. She was interviewed on News Talk. A real kind of bright star. And everyone thought this woman, Kerry Jade Williams, was amazing because she was saying she'd actually taught herself to walk and talk again after Huntington's disease. And I suppose if anyone who knows Huntington's disease, it's a degenerative disease, which unfortunately has no cure. But here we had Kerry Jade Williams saying, oh, I have all these amazing ways I'm combating my illness. I can't remember 24 hours ago, but I'm able to construct a very complex script that I'm writing for Netflix. So a lot of things didn't add up. And she was eventually exposed by Reddit users when she told a tall tale too far. And she made up this story that she was renting out her apartment on Airbnb, and she claimed that these tourists were threatening to sue her because they were afraid they might catch her disease, you know, and that they were appalled that they were having to stay in a place that was lived in by a person who had a disability. And, you know, that generated its own media attention, and that's basically how she came a cropper then in County Kerry, when the online community crowdsourced, hang on, is this the same woman as this woman back in England? Is Kerry Jade Williams actually Samantha Cooks? And she basically did a legger then, left her landlord with quite a mess in Kenmare in County Kerry.
And she did have an issue with the landlord that was brought before the Residential Tenancies Board.
Yeah, so bringing us back up to speed, in the Sunday Independent recently reported how that complaint that Samantha Cooks, aka Kerry Jade Williams, had made against her landlord Tim Hourigan in Kenmare, it cost him a lot of time and effort to fight it. She was claiming she'd been wrongly evicted. Even though she didn't turn up to the hearing, it still went ahead. But eventually his eviction notice was found to be wrong, but it was found that he didn't wrongfully evict her because she didn't come back or didn't pay her rent. And his furniture went missing as well, so he was awarded some €4,500. That then kind of led to a family in Selbridge contacting me going, Mark, we've just been employing this woman in our house for the last 6 months under the name Sadie Harris as our live-in au pair, and she's just gone off. We only found out who she was, and you know, they were just kind of reeling from that still. And when they saw my article in the Sunday Independent, they reached out to tell me their story.
Let's go back to the start. She is in Selbridge. How did she get to Selbridge in the first place? How did this couple find her?
A professional couple. They had a five-year-old who was about to start junior infants in September 2023. They had a two-year-old girl, and the mother is about to go back to work. So they were looking for an au pair, and they put up an ad on mindme.ie, as many people would. So they come across this Mary Poppins character, Sadie Harris, who responded to their ad. Said, you know, I'm a professional au pair. I'm studying childcare. They arranged a video interview. She spoke so well about the curriculum in junior infants, Jolly Phonics. She well-versed in kind of looking after children. Spoke about how her previous family that she'd au paired for 7 years in LA in America had made her sign a non-disclosure agreement. So she couldn't go into that kind
convenient.
Of detail. Yeah, I suppose in retrospect, a big red flag. And I've learned since that another family, a friend of mine's family, had actually been talking to her around the same time, May 2023, and then suddenly she cooled on them because she got this job in Selbridge. They arranged a video interview, and then they said, let's come up and meet the children. And so the mother in the case collected her at Houston Station, brought her to Selbridge. They met the kids, the wee fella and the little girl. They all got on very well, you know, and said, okay, this is great. And they showed her where she'd have her own room en suite, so she, you know, keep herself private. And at that stage, the mother, obviously in retrospect, she was given a reference of a company in England that Sadie Harris had formerly worked for. She Googled it, looked it up, didn't ring them to follow through.
And she was the perfect candidate. What was exactly the job that she was going to be doing with the family?
In the morning, she'd be just taking the young boy to school. She'd then have her own time until just after lunchtime where she'd have to collect him. And so she'd have a lot of her own time. And then she'd work with the kid, I suppose, on his homework. And they said she was amazing. They'd come back, he'd have all his homework done, his Jolly Phonics, his reading, art projects, you know, be painting. If there was a school bake, she'd have baked something ready for the next day. So just above and beyond she was doing, and they'd give her a bit of extra, the odd time if they went out, she might do a bit of babysitting. So like it was a limited enough, half an hour in the morning, 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon until they came back from work at 4. So she had a lot of free time. which they later found, you know, she kind of got busy in the community. But from their perspective, she was absolutely perfect as a live-in nanny and au pair. In retrospect, there were some red flags.
That's like, what I was going to ask. You said that there were some red flags beforehand. What were they?
So there was things like she would never take a phone call. She'd let her phone ring off the hook. Anytime they rang her, she'd never answer her phone call. So she was clearly screening her phone calls, you know, maybe wary of a journalist like me or someone from her past tracking her down. And when she called back, it was always from a withheld number. And she was very careful about not being photographed. Anytime, you know, even with the kid and his little VTech camera, you know, trying to take pictures, she'd always make sure she wasn't in that picture or any photographs around the house. She very rarely left their house. Like, so she lived there up until mid-February almost, from early September. And they remember only 2 weekends where she wasn't in their house. Even at Christmas, she was talking about going down to visit her mother. And she had this incredibly complex background where she said that she was adopted. She was Irish, born in Bessborough House, the mother and baby's home, adopted by an English Jewish mother who lives out in a kibbutz in Israel now, a businesswoman, a lot of wealth in their family. But she'd returned to Ireland to track down her biological mother, who was deaf, so couldn't do phone calls. She had three biological sisters who were down in Kerry, she said. So she was supposed to go and visit them at Christmas, but then at the last minute said her mother had a respiratory problem. And they often thought that when something was in the news, she'd had a connection to it, like whether it was, you know, her adoptive mother in the kibbutz and, you know, she'd know about Israel through that, or if there was a spike in RSV or some respiratory disease, oh, that's my mother has that and I can't. So she even stayed with them at Christmas, and it was all very nice, you know, living with the family. But in retrospect, yeah, they're like, why wasn't she more out and about?
When did this all come to a head, though?
For them, yeah, look, they knew that she'd got interested in religions and local churches, I suppose, to be more precise. They said she tried them all, the Catholic, the Church of Ireland, and then finally an evangelical church, the Bridge Church, based in a warehouse, kind of in commercial building. She got known there, and they think was through someone in the Bridge Church who finally identified her and who was also a parent in the local school. So they went in on, it was February 7th, for their parent-teacher meeting with their little fella, their darling kid, and they got a great report from the teacher. And then as they're walking out, the teacher said, can you go into the principal? She wants to talk to you. And they're like, oh God, what's our little
for
darling?
For any reason, I know, you'd go like that.
What's our little darling done, you know? They said the principal very nervous. They didn't know if they knew or if she might have been related to them. But she basically said, do you know who your au pair is? She showed them her phone with an article from the Irish Independent app, and just the blood drained from their faces. They were just in shock, you know, quickly reading who this woman was. They hadn't, you know, followed the story. And their first fear was like, oh my God, our son is back home with this woman who's a convicted, who's a litany of convictions, who's been lying to us all this time about her background. So they decided to play it cool that evening, had dinner, went to bed early, started on their phones. They were like reading, suddenly like, you know, deep dive into who this woman is, looking at all the media that had been written about her home and abroad. And their plan was to bring the guards over, and they're worried that they could have been subject to identity theft. You know, this woman who obviously has a track record of making up new identities, they were wondering what had she done in the 5-6 months that she'd been in her house. So they wanted the guards to come and kind of confront her and make sure she hadn't taken anything with their passports or anything like that. But kind of came to a head then that morning. The mother was up very early at 5 a.m. and Sadie Harris, which is also the name of a character from Grey's Anatomy, by the way, came in with a note and said, oh, you're up. And the mother confronted her. She had a note in her hand saying she was going down to Cork to visit her sick mother. But the mother confronted, we know everything. We know who you are. We know you're Samantha Cooks. She went into her default mode. When she was confronted about this previously in Kerry, she said, that's not me, that's my sister. And that's what she said again to the family. The father in this case, you know, made her turn out her bags, making sure she wasn't taking anything, took her key fob off her, her keys for the house, got a photograph of her as she went out, try to get her to answer some questions why she'd done that. And all she would say is, that's not me, that's my sister.
It's such a devastating thing to happen to a family because, like you said, the son loved her. There's a breach of trust there as well.
Completely. You know, it's like there's someone who ripped their hearts out. This is their first time venturing into the au pair world, you know, and obviously they put a lot of faith in her. And to find that she's a convicted fraudster, you know, this litany of lies, that all the stories she'd been telling have been lies, basically. And that was the main thing the mother said when she had that brief conversation to confront Cooks. She said, you know, did anything happen to my son? Did you do anything to my son? And Cooks said no. Yeah, and they've talked to their son and said they're happy nothing untoward like that happened. You know, like obviously it is a complete breach of trust. The little boy doesn't know. It was only a few weeks later, I suppose, that they broke it to him that she'd never come back. And that was when they got a a letter from Sadie Harris posted from Cork on the postmark, accusing them of underpaying or breaching working time directives or payment of domestic workers, and saying, you owe me some €7,500. So, that, you know, here we go back to old Samantha Cooks. This is the shakedown, you know, trying to embarrass them and saying, look, she was threatening to set her solicitor on them if they didn't pay up. There had been no attempt to kind of get money off them up to this, but then they said, okay, here she is, you know, reverting to type.
And did they search her room? Like, did they find anything suspicious or even interesting?
Well, she ended up leaving three laptops behind. Also, a case full of these kind of self-defense implements, like spikes.
I saw the photograph of that. Weird.
18, very strange, you know, it's kind of something you can put on your keyring, and if someone attacks you, you stab them. But she had 18 of them. So they left that in all to the Gardaí. Reams of notepads, you know, writings about going to meetings. She seemed to get involved in these women's activist movements where there, you know, a lot of her writings that I looked at when I went out to the house were focused on that, whether they were campaigning slogans or stories she was working on. It's not clear. There's a lot of budgeting for business ideas. One of her ideas she spoke about was running a princess dress kind of business where she'd go out to your house and sew stuff on for quite a lot of money, make your daughter's dress look like a princess's dress. But like, she was budgeting millions for these businesses, and you're like, what kind of fantasy world is she living in for this? But she also spoke about wanting to set up a school for autistic kids. So again, showing this kind of deep underlying desire to get involved in childcare and dealing with children. There are criminal complaints against her from her landlord in Kerry and another person in Kerry who believed she did something untoward. So there are an ongoing Garda investigation from those Kerry complaints, but the guards in Selbridge had no real interest. The husband in this case had to like kind of put a bit of pressure on them for they take a statement. You know, there are clearly issues here, child protection issues, when you have someone of that who has clearly mental health problems and is just a consummate liar and has criminal convictions and, you know, has tried to shake down people. So this is the first time we've had a solid experience of her since she did a runner from Kerry in late 2022. So, and the concern is now, you know, where will she try and get herself involved with again?
But she doesn't stay to herself. She always builds a big backstory, but then puts herself into the community, like you were mentioning earlier on. And even there, the people that she was interacting with in the church, they were suspicious of her.
Yeah, so I spoke to the local pastor, Matt Riles, about this, and he's American. And as soon as he said, oh, I'm from America, and she was telling about her LA backstory, he thought that she had it in for him, you know. She would make comments, kind of snarky comments. One of his sermons, he said, if you're of people of different faith, we shouldn't build walls between us, you know, we should all try and get on. We're not like Donald Trump. And she publicly upbraided him for that, saying, you know, oh, my conservative mega church in LA would not appreciate that. But then she'd say other things where, you know, she talked about having a Botox and Bible session with her mega church in LA. And Pastor Ryle said, look, I know that conservative church she's claimed to be a part of, and they're not into cosmetic surgery. They are definitely opposed to things like that. So that was a giveaway. He didn't know who she was, but he was suspicious of her and kind of resisted her getting further involved in committees. What she spoke about, even to other people in the church, about going in and working in Dublin, ministering to sex workers. This is something like the family were completely unaware of, you know, that she had spun this other story to people. Even in Selbridge, she had different personalities. You know, she told neighbours of them that she ran the household, she cooked all the dinners. She was basically, you know, this super mom, which is completely untrue again. Like, you know, she was very much in the background with minor kind of duties, if any. It was only a matter of time before all these lies would catch up with her.
Finally, do we have any indication where she is now?
I say the postmark on the letter from mid-February, late February is Cork. I've heard just this morning some rumblings that she might be down in Waterford. I think Sadie Harris is dead now. There'll be a new persona, a new alias cooked up. So I think people just need to be aware. And obviously, I personally think, having followed this story for nearly a year and a half now, I think, you know, she definitely needs help. I wouldn't encourage people to go on any witch hunt, but she's definitely someone that needs assistance with her own issues, you know, because she's keep getting deeper and deeper and telling more and more lies. And, you know, it is concerning where this will all end up.
And my thanks to Mark Thai. I'm Tabitha Monaghan, and today's episode of The Indo Daily was produced by Garrett Mulhall, with sound by Rory Bones. Archive clips from News Talk, Radio Kerry, Ireland AM and The Irish Independent. If you want to hear more about the scams committed by Samantha Cooks, check out our other podcast about the serial con artist in the podcast notes. And remember, if you enjoyed The Indo Daily, don't forget to follow the podcast and leave us a review.
No. Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too. All over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject to location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.